Welcome to Sports Med Res's This Week in Review podcast, where we highlight the recent news in sports medicine research. This past week, we had one post on sportsmedres.org. That's res.org. This post reported a study where the authors noted that a hands-free ultrasound unit at 1 MHz failed to increase the temperature deep in the gastrocnemius after 10 minutes of treatment. If we take a closer look at this post, we see that the authors noticed that the hands-free ultrasound was not effective at increasing the temperature of the gastrocnemius muscle because temperature actually decreased 0.16 degrees centigrade during treatment. In contrast, the traditional ultrasound had a total temperature increase of 0.41 degrees centigrade. This is an important study because as technology advances and more instruments come onto the market, it's necessary to test them and to have evidence to support the purchase and implementation of a new device into our clinical practice. The authors of this study demonstrated that the hands-free ultrasound device was not effective for heating deep tissues at 1 MHz. They suggested that the hands-free device failed to deliver a beneficial heating effect due to the location and activation of the four crystal heads, as well as the use of 10 millimeter thick gel pads. This is particularly important because previous research demonstrated that 2 to 3 millimeters gel pads are more effective. The traditional ultrasound treatment increased the gastrocnemius temperature, but it was likely insufficient for clinical benefit. Medical professionals should be aware of the effectiveness of the tools as well as the reliability and validity of their own technique in handling these devices. It would be interesting to see this study repeated in an injured population with damaged tissue to evaluate the outcomes related to the ultrasound units. For example, it's unclear how the placebo effect differs between a clinician-provided ultrasound treatment versus a hands-free treatment. You could potentially imagine that by the clinician sitting with you and doing the ultrasound treatment, it may enhance the potential placebo effect of the treatment and increase the overall benefit of that therapy. Lastly, medical professionals need to work with manufacturers to produce and evaluate products before they are available on the market. As Christopher Ingersoll described in its Time for Evidence, it's not the manufacturer's responsibility to provide us with research to support their product's clinical effectiveness. It is our job as medical professionals to see how effective these devices are within our respective roles and populations. This is a really important point that as we see a quick emergence of new technology and new fads and new devices into the clinical setting, it's imperative that clinicians determine whether or not these new devices and new modalities are beneficial to our clinical practice or not. In an ideal situation, hopefully our reps will allow us to try them out for a short period of time to see if they're beneficial. And in addition to clinical studies, sometimes it could be beneficial for the clinicians to report case studies describing the benefit that they experienced on a certain patient population. So for example, if you apply a certain modality to a person who had a lateral ankle sprain or a quadricep strain, then it could potentially be really informative to the rest of the clinical and research community that, hey, this new device worked for this type of patient. And then we can see if that finding can be replicated by other clinicians and other researchers. Don't forget that we also share extra material on social media. This past week, our most popular post was an article where the authors concluded that kinesiotaping has been found to be more effective than postural exercises to reduce neck pain. However, both modalities have similar effects to reduce axioscapular muscle activation. And if you're an athlete trainer who's looking for evidence practice CEUs, then please check out our four online courses that are available through the Human Kinetics website. We'll have links to these courses, the article I described above, as well as our blog post on our podcast website. And remember, you can always follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Google+, or LinkedIn. We'll be back next week with more sports medicine research. Until then, have a fun one.